Welcome to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil, the official Monster Jam podcast. I'm Scott Jordan. My guest this week has dominated every city, country, and continent he has driven on, whether it's El Toro Loco, Megalodon, or Max D. All he does is keep on winning. So let's go to the Great Clips hotline to Lafayette, Louisiana, to welcome back Blake Granger to the show. Blake, thanks for being here, man. Good to see you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you for having me, and super pumped to be on here and talk to you about everything going on. It's been an awesome start to international tour. Even got to get my feet wet in the U.S., and it's been an awesome year so far.
You've been everywhere. I saw you in Hartford, Connecticut, where you won 2 out of 3 event championships. But let's go back to the beginning of this year for you. So second year on the international series with Max D. You know, obviously this year Max D in a different position with Tom's retirement and then Tom stepping away as well. We've had Colton Eichelberger in the truck. We've had you come in to some of the domestic shows, and we've seen kind of a revolving door of Max D drivers. So what are your thoughts on the opportunity to be able to drive Max D not only in the international series but also to come over and do it in the U.S.?
Man, you know, it was awesome. I was super pumped. You know, it's been a few years since I've done a U.S. show, and not only that, I had never done a U.S. stadium besides a little bit of world final stuff here and there and double down showdown. So to finally be able to compete on the big stage here in the U.S. and mainly prove that I belong, you know, coming from arenas, I seem like people seem to forget when I was in arenas in America, I dominated there too. I gave Tyler Meninga and Tristan England a run for their money coming for championships there. And then we got pushed over to international to represent Max D, which at the time was a little shocking to me. But now that I've done it and experienced it, it was exactly what I needed to see the world and our tour, man. It's one big family. And, you know, Chelsea and Matt Cody and Charlie Paulkin, and I call them dad. It's like, it's the best crew that they could have ever put me with. We've all became best friends. And, you know, back to the U.S., it was just a dream opportunity. You know, I hated to see Tom get hurt, and no one ever wanted to see Tom go out like that. But to be able to have the opportunity to come in and fill in for him, we were able to pass up to, I think, 4th place on Bryce Kenny and show that, hey, we can do this. And hopefully down the road, we'll get to do it again.
Hey, you got a skills win in Jacksonville, and you and I talking a little bit. I think when it comes to that competition specifically, you were one of the best in the business, no matter the stage. Do you feel that going to the international series gave you a chance to really step away and shine and put that spotlight on you and really prove that, yes, you are one of the best in the business to do this?
Most definitely. You know, arenas, we can only do so much, and I am a wild child at heart, and I need room to spread my wings. And I've been stuck in the small walls of arenas, which infuriated me at times. You know, I just wanted to send the truck. I wanted to do what I knew I was capable of, and to finally get that opportunity to go out in stadiums and jump big and moonwalk for 100 yards across the floor instead of 10 feet against the wall and having to bring it back. It definitely fits my skill set better. I do truly believe that arenas make us better drivers. So to have the opportunity to spend 6 and 7 years in arenas is the reason why I'm capable to do what I am today. But to finally be able to spread my wings and get out on a stadium floor, it was like that release of just confinement, and I was just ready to go, you know, and it was so exciting to be able to just actually freestyle the truck, two-wheel the truck, race the truck, and I think it worked out for me.
So with the schedule that you've had and bouncing back and forth between arenas and stadiums and different series and international and Megalodon and El Toro Loco and Max D, is this something that's just sort of been a fly by the seat of your pants deal, or is this something that was worked out with you prior to the season that maybe there might be some opportunities for you to bounce around a little bit this year?
Starting the year, I knew I was going to be in Max D and El Toro, doing Max D in stadiums and El Toro in arenas. But with everything going on in the U.S., you know, they had to pull old Matt Cody from us, and Charlie Paulkin got moved up to Gravedigger, which I think is awesome. Seeing him walk around in that Gravedigger suit, it's like a piece of history, and I get to be a part of it. So that's always awesome. But no, the Megalodon thing kind of got thrown on me last minute, and I actually enjoy it. I've got to see how the fans react to Max D, El Toro, Megalodon now last weekend, and it's shocking. You know, they have a different fan base, but at the same time, all the fans love all three of those trucks. And, you know, driving Max D, I think it's overlooked at how much the fans want to see that truck. I have been all over the world, and Chelsea and them can tell you, when we're sitting in a pit party, the number one truck you see in the kids' hands is a Max D truck. They want that truck signed. They ask how Tom's doing, and they followed me all over the world, which is insane, because traveling the world, I didn't even think these people would know who I am. And now that I've done it for a year, I have fans all over the world. And I think that means more to me than just having fans in the US. I have a fan base now. I'll be online looking at comments, and even the people in Germany and people in the UK and all that. It's just the love I'm getting from these people, especially after Costa Rica. It's just like, it's so awesome to receive all the love and support from around the world. And it's something that I'll cherish forever. But as for driving all these different trucks, it's just, it's awesome, because I love showing people that it's not the name on the truck that matters. It is the driver.
And as long as you win, I don't think anybody cares what truck you're in, man. Coming up, more with Blake Granger. Stay right where you are. More Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil is next. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. This week, I'm joined by Max D driver Blake Granger. We talked a little bit about Megalodon and the fan base. Let's talk about it as a truck, because drivers that I've spoken to in the past say that the vision is a bit of an adjustment period for them, just with the way that the body is shaped and the way that you see out of that truck. How was it for you driving the 12,000-pound Shark?
Man, you know, I enjoyed it. I actually, it's shocking to hear that. That's the first I've heard of that when it comes to Megalodon, but you know, driving Max D, it's probably, from my experience, the hardest truck to see out of. We used to run flares on the front of the hood, which made it even harder. But now we've removed the flares, and it's helped a lot. But after switching to Toro, you know, everybody said, oh, my gosh, you cannot see nothing out of Toro. But the chassis on Toro is so much bigger, we can use risers to lift up. Same thing in Megalodon. I had a 2-inch riser in Toro, a 3-inch riser in Meg. I could see the world out of that truck. I can see the turn pods, so I don't have to run them over, because in Max D, I've ran over more boxes and turn pods than you could ever imagine, because I cannot see them. I'm literally guessing and using my skill and experience to say, hey, turn here and hope for the best. So driving Meg, I felt like I could see the world, and I absolutely loved it. You know, from the fan reaction to the view, I had no complaints.
You and I seemingly are a lot alike as far as competitors. I'm cutthroat when it comes to competition. I know that you like to win as well. I feel like one of my biggest faults as a human being is traveling the world with a 100-pound chip on my shoulder, where I always kind of feel underappreciated, you know, undervalued, that I need to prove myself constantly. And I just feel like that's the way that I grew up in the business I grew up in and came in, is that you always have to prove yourself. And I know that you share that as well. Do you still feel that way, that every time out you still have to prove that you belong, whether it's to the fans, whether it's to the company, whether it's to the fellow drivers?
I would definitely say the first 6 or 7 years, I had that 100%. And I was so driven to prove myself. You know, it's the way I was raised. You know, I have to give it mostly to my dad. He was a Marine. You know, he spent a lot of time in the military. And he always forced in me that no one's going to do it for you. It's all on you. You know, if you want to be the best, you have to earn it. If you want to be a successful in life, you have to go out and get it. And no one's going to give it to you. No one's going to do it for you. And, you know, I've always wanted to, I would say be the best, but I've always wanted to earn it. And, you know, driving a truck like Max D after Tom Mintz, you're always in a shadow. It's not my brand. It's not my truck. I didn't invent it 20 something years ago. And I had to show people that I belong to be behind the wheel of that truck. And it's definitely stressful, you know, and, you know, Matt Cody's been dealing with that with Gravedigger. It's such a name and such an experience and such a history that, you know, here's this young guy that just steps foot in a truck and no one knows who he is. And you have to show these fans that, hey, I'm capable, I belong, and I can do it. I can do it. And it took time to make that happen. And here we are, you know, 8 years later. And I did win a world finals. Unfortunately, it wasn't in a truck. I really never had the opportunity. I tried to win the showdown. I lost the transmission and had truck issues, and didn't even get to make it past the second round. And it's a chip on your shoulder, you know, and that's something that I can say the international tour has removed, because I'm on tour with people that treat you equally. They're friends. They're not competitors. They're family. They see the bigger picture, and it's all about, this is a tour to show the world what Monster Jam is all about, not about who's the best, who's going to win, and who sucks. We all support each other, which is how it should be. You know, when Charlie and I started on tour together, he struggled in two-wheel skill, but that's one of the things that I was best at. So I was able to relay that to him. Hey, try this, do this. This is how I do it. First gear instead of second gear, all these little things that he never had the opportunity to do because he didn't spend 6 years in arena. And then same thing with like Chelsea Van Cleve. She's a rookie that got thrown in the stadiums and never had the experience that we've had. we want to make each other improve. We want to make each other better. And they've made me a better person. I've tried to help them make them better drivers. And it all full circle, man. It's an awesome family we have.
So just like you with the International Series, being here at this desk has kind of allowed me to let go of that chip a little bit. It's probably about 50 pounds now as opposed to 100. but listen, man, your success has been noted by everybody. We've been talking you up on TV, every opportunity with the arena shows, the international shows. You've done a great job. And so congratulations on all of your success. We're going to have more of that. And we're going to talk about World Finals with Blake Granger coming up next on Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm Scott Jordan. This week, I'm joined by Max D's Blake Granger. Blake, going back to 2019, you won the World Finals Championship in the ATV racing competition. Now, I don't know how anybody else announces you, but when I announced you in Hartford, Connecticut, every time I announced you as a world champion, because for me, it's you know, apples and oranges here. It's still a world championship, though. You won. I'd say that to Armando Castro and Matt Cody as well. Even though it was a triple threat series competition, you are still in the record books as a world finals champion. So how do you feel to be able to carry that lineage as, hey, I've won a world title? How does that make you feel to keep going through there and to be announced as a world champion?
Well, you know, definitely with my ATV background, it might not mean as much to some, but it means a lot to me because my whole life has been dedicated to racing ATV motocross. And, you know, to be able to earn that championship and have that trophy sitting on the shelf, you know, whether it means anything to anyone else or not, my kids loved it. My kids were there to experience it. And that's something I'll never forget. And that means more to me than anything else when it comes to that ATV championship. But not only that, you know, representing Max D and not having a chance to go in the main field, at least I was able to give something back to the truck itself. That ATV World Championship's still sitting on the shelf here, and it forever will be, so we'll take it.
All right, let's talk about the future of Max D. Now, I don't know what the plans are for Max D's future. I have no inside knowledge of that. I don't know if the truck will continue to run without Tom driving it, but do you feel, if that's the case, that the truck does continue to run in stadiums domestically, that you have earned the opportunity to be able to take over that mantle from Tom Mentz and drive Max D?
I still look back at the day in 2016 or 17 when, you know, Tom gave me that phone call telling me, hey, I'm going in a little situation here and I have to pick a driver to take over and you're the guy. And, you know, that phone call right there confirmed to me that, hey, he believed in me. I believe in myself. And I have a whole army of people here in Louisiana that believe in me. And I knew from that point on, you know, the second weekend I ever drove the truck, I won overall event championship. And if you look back in my past, I've probably won more overall event championships in that truck than any other driver. It's not spoken about that way, and you'll probably never hear that come out of anyone else's mouth. But if you go back and look at the history, I've done a lot of winning in that truck, which has given me the confidence to say, I think I do deserve it. And I think I do belong in that truck. And no matter what changes, whether I drive El Toro Loco or whether I drive Megalodon, when that helmet comes on, I'm driving Max D, and I'm going to go out there and run those trucks just as hard as I would run that Max D truck. And you know, I was talking to Bill and Jamie about it a while back, and no matter what happens, no matter what changes, that truck is always going to be in my heart.
Yeah, I can't imagine Monster Jam without Max D running. I think that truck is so iconic. I imagine it will continue in some way, shape, or form, and we'll figure that out with time next year. But let's talk about a phone call that you received that led you to Atlanta. We had some news coming out of Atlanta, which we'll get to in a second, but you were announced in Atlanta at the Motor Speedway as the International Series champion, which comes with an automatic bid to Monster Jam World Finals. So talk about that phone call and what you felt when you were told you were heading to the main field.
Man, it was surreal. A dream come true. Goal accomplished, you know. I've been so close twice. You know, I think me and Tyler Meninger were 40 points off going into the last weekend, and I had some faults that held me back, and same thing going against Tristan England, man, me and him battled to the finish. So I've been so close to getting that automatic bid to the World Finals, but, unfortunately it didn't go my way. And to now finally be able to close the door and say, hey, we made it, you know, the international tour was not easy. You know, I went through a lot of awesome drivers. You know, Charlie Falcon is a legend. He's one of the best there is. And then same with Bari, you know. Bari has been at pretty much every World Finals since I've been a Monster Jam fan. And, you know, I've had the honor to do Monster Gone with him last weekend. And it was me and him battling every single show. And Barry is no slouch. He's done Siemens shows. He's done it all. So it's been fun to travel the world. It's been fun to win all over the world. But to be able to earn an automatic bid to the World Finals, that means way more to me than just getting invited for no reason. You know, I earned it. No one can take that from me. And man, oh man, am I ready to get to LA SoFi? I'm so fired up. I'm ready to release all this energy. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, you get a weekend off and the company says, hey, by the way, you're going to come out to Atlanta just to have some fun. They break the news to you. You're going to World Finals. I know the emotion was probably through the roof for you. Congratulations on your series championship, by the way, well-deserved. But now you have a chance to really prove yourself. We talk about, you know, having to prove yourself. You're going to be on the biggest stage of them all against the best in the world. And there is no better way to prove that you belong than to win on that field. Yep. So I know that you got some events coming up before that, but you got to be looking ahead to SoFi. You're in freestyle and racing, maybe a skills competition as well. But talk a little bit about your thoughts heading into that and what it would mean to you to walk out of Inglewood, California as a Monster Jam world champion.
Oh man, it's something that I don't take for granted, for sure. You know, 8 years of fighting, 8 years of trying, at one point almost giving up, you know, and to overcome and to be invited to the World Finals, to have a series championship, another trophy to add to the collection, something that I can show my kids that, hey, never give up, keep fighting. Even when people don't believe in you, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Anything is possible. And man, racing, you know, I've gotten a lot better in stadium racing over these last 2 years. And honestly, I wish I could have my truck that's overseas, but I'm going to have to hop into the domestic Max D, and that's going to throw me a little curveball. Unfortunately, it's not my favorite chassis, but that doesn't stop me, man. I'm going to get in any truck and drive it, just like we've done in Meg and Toro here recently. And freestyle, man, I'm just ready to let loose. I'm ready to send that truck and you know, show Tom that, hey, you might not be able to be here, but I promise you we're going to continue that Max D legacy. And man, I will give it my all to earn another World Finals championship, not only for myself, but for that Max D legacy.
It definitely lands a little different with that, the way that motor sits in that truck. So you're going to have an adjustment period there. So Tom has won, you know, 14 World Finals championships. A majority of those have been in Max D. What would it mean to you in Tom's final year of active competition to bring another world championship to the Max D team?
I don't even know if there's words to explain the feeling of potentially holding that World Finals trophy at the end of that weekend, man. It's something that's been a goal of mine since the day I've started. You know, that's been my entire career here is building a name and building my own brand and getting the fan support. So hopefully one day I can bring it to the stage like World Finals and have an opportunity to even compete. And, you know, nothing but respect for all the other drivers that are going to be there. I know it's not going to be easy. You know, you have the best drivers in the world, you know, starting with Ryan Anderson. I mean, that guy is on a whole nother level. But sitting back, do you think Tom sits there and thinks, no, Ryan Anderson's great? Yeah, he's great, but Tom still thinks he's better. And that's the mindset you have to have. I'm not going over there scared of any of those guys. They can try to get in my head. They can have 30 trophies. They can be Andersons or Tyler Dukes or whatever they may be. But at the end of the day, I'm Blake Granger. I believe in myself. I drive Max D. And I'm going to show those guys that, hey, win or lose, I'm going to make a statement. I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to show my kids, hey, Dad's in the World Finals. Let's go have some fun. And, man, it's going to be one awesome weekend in Los Angeles.
I'm looking forward to seeing you on the track at SoFi. Coming up next, your fan questions for Blake. Stick around. More Inside Monster Jam Power by Lucas Oil is coming up after this. Welcome back to Inside Monster Jam, powered by Lucas Oil. I'm joined by Blake Granger. It's time for your fan questions. Get involved in the conversation each and every week on Instagram by following me at Scott Jordan MJSX. We're going to kick it off with MJVG Media. How do international Monster Jam fans react to meeting you and possibly seeing these massive Monster Jam trucks for the first time? Are there any memorable reactions?
It's crazy because internationally, they don't see Monster Jam as often. And, you know, the interaction, these guys will scream and shout just for the trucks coming out of the tunnels. That's probably one of the biggest memories I have, is being in South Africa and literally our crew guys driving our trucks out on the floor and the fans going wild. Like they just watched Tom Mintz do the craziest freestyle of his career. And that's probably one of the highlights there.
All right. So Aus_Jam says, what was the experience like doing shows at the Liwa International Festival at the end of last year?
Man, hands down, Liwa was my favorite event of my career. You know, driving a 12,000 pound Monster Jam truck in the desert. Not only that, we had royal families there that took us on experiences that I'll never forget, from driving their race buggies to seeing their garages with $1 billion of cars. Wow. Man, Liwa was something that if they go back, I highly recommend, you know, getting there, because it's an experience like no other.
That sounds awesome, man. So Real Thomas Frasco is asking, what were some of the challenges competing at Monster Jam Ramped Up? So anything the Monster Gone offered you that you weren't quite prepared for?
Man, I think it mainly just be the traction issues. We did a lot of training on it prior, and going to UK, the arena we were in had a polished floor and traction was hard, but I think I like the challenge. You know, that was something that every driver had to face. And fortunately for me, I was able to face it well, winning 2 of the 4 overall event championships, landing 2 backflips. We went 4 for 4 on backflips between me and Matt Cody. So the Monster Gone has a bright future, and I'm looking forward to being a part of it.
And you dominated there as well, man. You did that corkscrew backflip, which was pretty cool. Was that something that you had planned out, or you just hit it at the wrong angle, or just gave way at the last second?
No, man, doing freestyle right before that, I bent a sway bar, and I think just a lot of things lined up to make it happen. And, you know, some drivers might have lined up to that ramp and said, you know, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't feel safe. Well, like I said, you know, when you drive that Max D truck, there's nothing to stop you. And even in that Toro truck, in my mind, I wasn't stopping. I was doing that backflip, and it threw me in the corkscrew. We landed it, had a little save after, and definitely a highlight of the weekend.
All right, Blake, thanks for being here, man. Looking forward to seeing you at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles for World Finals, man. Congratulations again.
Thank you guys for having me, man, and we'll see you soon.
All right, and as for you folks, you know where to find me. I will be right here at this desk. And just like Blake, there's nothing stopping me from another all-new episode of Inside Monster Jam powered by Lucas Oil.